This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'd like to welcome you to Issues of the Environment. This week, we're going to get a look inside a rather fascinating project that's been underway on the University of Michigan campus for some time now. Its long-term goal is to potentially offset the need for commercial fertilizers and the myriad of environmental hazards that causes. It's the where and how of the research that we begin our conversation today. I'm David Fair, and my guest is Dr. Nancy Love. Dr. Love is the principal investigator for U of M's Urine Diversion Research Project, and thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, David. Happy to be with you.
Well, I know that a $3 million grant was authorized through the National Science Foundation back in, 2016?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Right, and it was for this idea of turning urine, human urine, into a usable fertilizer that might potentially become more environmentally friendly. So let's go right back to the beginning and kind of refresh our memories as to how this all got started. What did you first do with that money when it arrived on campus?
Well, it was beneficial that we had already started working in this area with a prior grant that was provided by the Environmental Protection Agency. It was not as large, but we already had quite a few collaborations established and methods developed. What's really important about this project is that we work with a nonprofit called the Rich Earth Institute in Vermont. And so we already had a farm in place in Vermont where we had been practicing use of urine-derived fertilizers for crops that we were just working with experimentally. In that case, lettuce and carrots. So the first thing we did was bring our team together and assess where we had been already and what we were going to do that was new with this project that would really advance these concepts further than we had to date.
I'm always curious as where the genesis of ideas come from. We know that biosolids have been used as a fertilizer forever, and there have now been chemicals that have been used for generations. What made somebody say, you know what, all the elements we need may be contained in urine?
So what's important to know about urine is that when it comes to the nitrogen and phosphorus in our wastewater, 85%-ish, approximately 85% of the nitrogen in wastewater is actually coming from the urine itself, and about maybe 60% of the phosphorus. So you can imagine that if we remove the urine stream from wastewater, or some fraction of it, we reduce the amount of nitrogen and phosphorus we're sending to the wastewater plants. Now, wastewater plants need some of that nitrogen and phosphorus to perform the functions that they're designed for, but many plants aren't able to remove all of it, and it ends up in our environment. So by pulling it out and then processing it to take that nitrogen and phosphorus and turn it into useful fertilizer, we don't even go through the treatment plant. And we can actually reduce the cost of expanding those plants to deal with the nitrogen and phosphorus loads they receive. And increasingly, that is one of the main costs associated with treatment plant upgrades these days.
So in the process of deciding how you were going to collect, study, sanitize, and then utilize the urine, you went directly to the source, right in a building on campus.
Yes. Yes. We have a source separating toilet, and we have waterless urinal in the civil and environmental engineering departments. The main building and the toilets that are right down the hall from the main the department main office. And so you can actually try it out yourself. But then beyond that, we actually then collect that urine, and we have a demonstration pilot downstairs where we use multiple steps to process the urine into a liquid fertilizer. That's what we're doing right now. But we have other methods that we use where sometimes we separate the phosphorus and the nitrogen and turn them into either a liquid or a solid product so that farmers who want to use this can bring those nutrients back together again in the correct ratio for whatever crop or plant that they're going to be applying it to.
And this is where I want to take the conversation next. First of all, you're listening to Issues of the Environment, and our conversation with Dr. Nancy Love continues on 89.1 WEMU. We're talking about the U of M's Urine Diversion Research Project and the potential environmental benefits of P-cycled fertilizer, as it's being called. Mm-hmm. How would this be more beneficial than the fertilizer products that are being used today? And we're seeing all of that agricultural runoff and the phosphorus causing all sorts of algae blooms, particularly in Lake Erie, but we're starting to see it in water bodies throughout the inland lakes too.
Well, so I would make clear that the products that we're producing are also have the potential, if not applied correctly or not applied in a manner that keeps them on the land, to run off. So what we're really looking at is offsetting perhaps the energy associated with conventional fertilizer production.
It takes a lot of fossil fuels to make current fertilizer products, right?
Yes, like for nitrogen, and then for phosphorus, it's a mining process. And there are limited locations around the globe where those mines exist. And some of them are in geopolitically sensitive locations, and so it's really a limited resource. And so, in addition, we offset the cost of having to upgrade water infrastructure if we have less nitrogen and phosphorus going to the treatment plant, and that treatment plant is in a water is in a nutrient-sensitive water body that requires nitrogen or phosphorus removal or conversion. And so we're kind of offsetting those investments that would occur otherwise. And we're not thinking that this would completely replace all fertilizers, but that it would certainly be part of the infrastructure that we going forward over the next decades as we replace our water infrastructure. And we all know that we're at kind of design life for much of our water infrastructure. And so in the next several decades, 3 to 4 decades, everything will be different. Everything will be new. And so we're trying to think ahead of the game in what would happen if we start pulling urine out and separating it and processing it differently, then we don't have to have as big of a treatment plant.
And early results show that this could have widespread impact?
Well, so we're doing that as part of our research. So one of the things that we're looking at is not just the technologies. We're looking at kind of the systems analysis. What is the energy investment to do this versus status quo? What are the environmental impacts of doing this versus the status quo? So that's one element we're looking at. We also are looking at people's behaviors and people's attitudes towards this, because as you imagine, there's a bit of a giggle factor associated with thinking about urine to fertilizer that might be used for...
And when I heard the term pea-cycled, I laughed out loud.
Right. A lot of people do. But you'd be surprised. Our research is actually showing people get over that fairly quickly once they understand some of the motivations behind this and the benefits.
So let's talk a little bit more about that social aspect. How important and how relevant is that? If the technology works, does the social attitude towards it matter equally as much in order to bring it to market and have it used in a manner that actually benefits the environment in great ways?
You know, I do think that people are becoming more aware of and interested in where their food comes from. And I think what I would hope is that our products that we're producing become adopted by farmers who are interested in providing, say, sustainable foods that are locally sourced. You know, it's kind of consistent with that whole line of thinking. So I actually do think people care. And we're actually in the process of doing a large-scale nationwide survey, though, to assess that and to look at what it is that people care about it and how their different backgrounds might influence their acceptance of this concept, so that we can tailor and target our communication about it to the different audiences, if you will.
I know that to most of us, $3 million sounds like a lot of money, but when it comes to scientific research, especially something on such a widespread scale, it's really not a lot of money. So are you starting to get towards the end of that as a resource, and how do you go about the future research?
Excellent question. So first of all, the $3 million is for all our partners, and the partners we have include the Rich Earth Institute in Brattleboro, who is a substantial contractor, you know, subcontractor to this grant, and the University of Buffalo, where some of the pharmaceutical analysis is being done. And of course, I'm already thinking about that next step. And so my goal for this grant is that we really move the acceptance and interest in this concept forward such that there will be follow-on grants and interest, not only by the federal government, by preferably moving towards practice. One of the things that I'll mention that was interesting for me to learn is, for instance, septic hauler, the industry, the whole industry as a whole, is looking for ways to innovate. we actually see that as a potential component of a urine diversion practice, because you need to move this urine, and if you're not doing it in a city, there's an opportunity for kind of a business model. So we're also looking at the business model aspects of this, as well as, you know, the technology and the behavior.
And that'll kind of be the key to the success, won't it? As soon as somebody realizes that there is a profit to be made on the back end, the front-end investment will come.
Yes. And like even our facility here in G.G. Brown, where we in on the campus at the University of Michigan, where we have our demonstration, that system is automated with sensors and controllers. I can get on a computer anywhere in the world and observe the performance of that system, possibly control it. So it's also a demonstration of automation and how this can be, again, another business model.
We'd love to follow up moving forward.
Sure, David, we're happy to have you. Come on out and give us a donation.
Well, based on our conversation, I do have to run down the hall.
Okay.
That is Dr. Nancy Love, the principal investigator for the University of Michigan's Urine Diversion Project and our guest on Issues of the Environment. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.